broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendrick.
Another thing I wrote down was, can we have another fundraiser?
This is the Prince George's County School District parent calling to thank you for...
We're not going to have babies. We're not going to have sex. Or at least we're going to be protected if we're going to do something. So that's
bleeping
really...
Bleeping retarded.
World famous Phil Hendrick show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go anywhere, including through that looking glass and beyond, to take you places other talk shows cannot go. Sometimes we get scarred. Sometimes we're burned. Sometimes we get airborne. Sometimes we're right off the track and, you know, fireball Roberts. A kid gets sent home from school wearing a Steelers jersey. You can't do that when it's Seahawk Day. And a grumpy substitute teacher in Florida attacks his students. The most and least expensive cars to insure in 2011. And 877-876-7445, our number. And our website is philhendryshow.com. A backstage pass, the BSP, is what affords you an opportunity to take a look at us doing the show, performing the show, as well as listening to it. And you can listen to our archives, our podcasts, our classic podcasts, our news feed, our email response, all there at philhendryshow.com. So I thought what I would do here, and we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I think you're going to survive, man.
Yeah, you look bad.
Well, it's been it's some tough shows, man.
You look like you're going to cry.
I wasn't going to cry.
Well, you know, you look like you weren't going to make it the next hour.
It's been some tough shows the last couple of weeks, man. It's just been very tough shows since before Christmas. But I think we're, maybe we're through it. I don't know. I just, I think probably because there's, you know, listening goes down around the holidays, okay?
Yeah, and then it goes down about when you come on.
Exactly.
Will you shut up?
Ow!
Then it goes down when you come on.
In any event, it goes down around Christmas time, and it'll pick back up probably, right about now. Anyway. It's what we call sets in use. All right. Top 10 most and least expensive cars to insure. When I was telling you guys about cars, you know, the other day.
Yeah.
And about the big pieces of garbage that I've driven.
You talked about that Volkswagen.
Oh, I had a Volkswagen that was caved in. I had all kinds of stuff, man. I had cars that weren't insured, and then I had cars that had basic insurance, and then I got married. And my wife was in the insurance business, and her father, my father-in-law, was in the insurance business. And so I went from having just the bare minimum of insurance to being gold-plated, basically. But this story is interesting to me because these are the top 10 most and least expensive cars to insure in 2011.
What about that Gecko?
What about the Gecko?
It's not about the insurance.
We ain't talking about that. I don't want to talk about that. We're talking about the cars.
Oh.
The Gecko.
That in a
I heard that in the 21st century.
What are you guys talking about insurance? Let's just talk about the cars for starters. Top 10 least expensive cars to insure. What's the least expensive car to insure in America? The Toyota Highlander costs you $1,154 a year to insure. Number 9 is the Ford Escape, $1,150 to insure. Number 8. The Toyota Sienna, $1,142. The Honda Odyssey, $1,138. The Jeep Wrangler, so far I've got two American and three Japanese cars. The Jeep Wrangler, $1,131. Nissan, another Japanese car, $1,127. Honda Odyssey, the LX, $1,114. Toyota Sienna LE and the Toyota Sienna, $1,107 and $1,100 even. And then the least expensive car in the planet... On the planet, the Chrysler Town and Country. All right.
That's American.
Yes, it is. That's the least expensive car to insure, the Chrysler Town and Country. I couldn't tell you what a Town and Country looks like. What does it look like, man? I don't know.
It's probably like, ain't that one car, that town car?
No, it ain't the town car. That's a big-ass car. Now, the 10 most expensive cars... To insure. Now, is this is with the calendar year changing from 2010 to 2011. Insurance adjusters have compiled their actuarial tables, and that means a new list of the cheapest and most expensive vehicles to insure for the new year. In this case, insure.com recently conducted a survey of the nation's... Where do you think somebody's from if they say insurance?
What do you mean?
If someone, instead of saying insurance, they say insurance, where do you think they're from?
I don't know.
Oklahoma. Started.
How do you know that, man?
Because somebody I know is from Oklahoma, and that's how they say it. I don't know. In any event, you know me. I like accents. So, number 10 of the 10 most expensive cars to insure, this is the 10th most expensive car to insure, and this according to insure.com. It is the Mercedes-Benz G55 AMG $3,086.49 a year. The ninth most expensive car to insure is the Aston Martin DB9 Volante, $3,088.96. The Aston Martin DB9 Volante. The eighth most expensive car to insure, you got it. The Porsche 911 Carrera. What do you mean, you got it? How's anybody going to know?
Man, I don't know nothing about these cars.
Well, they're expensive, Jack. No, it's the Porsche 911 Carrera. Well, that's a nice one. $3,092. The seventh most expensive car to insure in America, and perhaps, yeah, in America, because this is American dollars. Why am I saying in the world? By the way, just to take a break here, somewhat unsurprisingly, the least expensive vehicles are dominated by minivans. That's what we were listening to when we were talking about the Highlander Escape and the Sienna. Minivans, while the most expensive list is filled with high-powered jamming machines. So here we go, the top 10. Mercedes-Benz, where were we?
Number seven,
the Mercedes-Benz C11 600, baby, that 600 series. Oh, yeah.
That's a beauty, man.
That is $3,114. Number six, the Aston Martin DB9. We had an Aston Martin DB9 Volante, which is a smaller. This is the Aston Martin DB9, $3,120. The fifth most expensive car to insure in America, the Mercedes-Benz S65 AMG, $3,220. The fourth most expensive car to insure, the Mercedes-Benz SL63 AMG, $3,263.
What's that mean, SL and then the S?
The SL is a longer sedan. It's a sedan, and the L is for longer. Seriously.
No, man, that probably means something, like, really tricky.
No, it doesn't mean anything tricky. The SL is a sedan that's longer. You got the S65, and the SL is a longer sedan. That's number four. Number three, the BMW 750. Oh, yeah, $3,280. And the BMW 750i, there's the BMW 750Li, excuse me, $3,280. And the BMW 750i, same price, $3,280. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the most expensive. Now, I thought I just saw the SL AMG. SL65 AMG is the same car. The most expensive car to insure in America is the Mercedes-Benz SL65 AMG, $3,543.
What about your car?
My car, the AMC Hornet.
No, man.
Well, I'm not going to tell you about my car, but that's the $3,543 a year for the Mercedes-Benz SL65 is some other different kind of. I think somebody screwed up with this list. But I had my cars. I had two Volkswagens. Then I had a 69 Falcon. I had two Volkswagens. I had a 65 GTO.
Yeah, you tell me about a GTO, son of a bitch, and that blew up.
It did blow up. It blew up in Texas. I'll never forget. I was driving from Florida to Texas, and this was in 1975, and I had this 64 GTO Pontiac. And the alternator, the flywheel on the alternator froze up somewhere in East Texas. I'll never forget because I was in the middle of nowhere, man. You ever been to Texas?
Uh-oh.
One half of Texas is like a desert, and the other half of Texas is green. Oh, it's gorgeous, you know. My car froze up in the green part of Texas in January, and man, was it cold. And I looked down, and the alternator light is on. I wheeled it into a... I'll never forget, I wheeled it into a gas station, and it was just one guy, you know, like a gas station. He says, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, not too good, man." So we flip open the hood, and the wheel is frozen. I can see the alternator wheel is frozen, and it sheared off the fan belt, or one of the belts. So I was on my way to California.
The car had not cost me a lot to buy. The guy says to me, I can get the part. It's going to be 48 hours. And I'm telling you, I'm at a gas station, and all around me is prairie and cow area, you know.
Like this, was there cow?
It was not. There wasn't even cow. It was just space for cow. So I had a gas station, and then just all dedicated to cow, you know. Nothing, man.
Well, what about like a town?
If there was a town, I didn't see it. I'm sure the town was down this road where, you know, it was Kilgore, Texas. I didn't see it. So the guy says to me, it's going to be 48 hours. I said, you know what I said to the guy? I said, you can have the car.
What?
I gave him the car, and I gave him the pink slip. I said, take it.
Man, that's something only a guy do when he's 22 or 23.
I did it. I said, take the car. And he said, sure, you know. I mean, I gave him a 62, 63 GTO, whatever it was. Because I was done with this thing, man. I'd put a lot of money into it, and I bought it off of this guy. I'll never forget the cat I bought it off of. This dude by the name of Jack. What the hell was his name? There was Jim Beam, who was from Oklahoma, and the other guy was Jack something. And these two jackballs came. They were cement finishers that I knew. I used to finish cement. And this was after I got out of cement finishing. I was in radio at this time, but these two guys were construction workers that I knew. And the one guy had just gotten out of prison, and the other guy walked with a limp. And I found out that this guy walked with a limp. Why? Not because he was in bed with another guy's wife, but because he caught his wife in bed with another guy, and that guy shot him.
You're kidding me, man. Usually it'd be the other way around everything.
Didn't work that way for him. So this guy's walked. So he sold me his GTO, and I wound up putting a couple, three bills into it. In those days, a lot of money. So I just said, you take the car.
Well, why would you do that?
Then I got out on the Interstate 10 on the on-ramp, and I stuck my thumb out. And I hitchhiked all the way into Dallas. I got one ride, took me all the way into Dallas, and it was a Navy recruiter, if you can believe this. And
guy tried to get you recruited and everything?
He tried to recruit me into the Navy. He did. Guy was a nice guy. And we're driving along, and he says, I'm going into Dallas. I'm going to the U.S. Navy. I'm a Navy recruiter. I said, really? So then I told him my brother had been in the Navy. He said, well, I'll tell you what, man. The guy's giving me the pitch. Man, I live all over the world. My wife, I got a wife and daughter, and man, we've been PX, and you can, you know, this and that and this and that, and you can get your free money and or whatever the hell, you know, and the groceries are cheap, man, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, that sounds really cool, you know, whatever. He said, yeah, okay, what do you think about it, man, you know. And anyway, he says to me, now, see that bus there? I said, yeah, get on that bus. That'll take you to the airport. I said, great. So I get on this bus, and there's a bunch of other guys that are about my age, and they all have green duffel bags like I do, except all of these guys are going to the naval base in San Diego.
They think you were on that, too?
Yeah, they did, because the bus takes us to the Dallas airport, and I see Delta Airlines, and I hit the, you know, you pull down the cord.
Yeah.
And the bus driver's looking at me like, where the hell do you think you're going? I said, I'm getting the hell off of here. That's what I'm doing. Have a nice day. So I got a free ride to the thing.
Oh, it didn't. That's why the guy told you it didn't cost you anything.
Yeah, so he dumped me off of the bus. I got a free ride on the bus, and I flew into L.A., and that was it. That's my story. And was that car insured? I'll never know.
Maybe you got it insured, you forgot.
Probably. We'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. A radio station owner threatens to shoot up a rival station, and we'll tell you why, as if he needs a reason. Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
It's The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're telling another one.
Well, I don't know if I should tell that part of the story. No, I'm not going to tell that part of the story.
Oh, come on. Now you let the cat out of the bag, man.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not telling that part of the story. I'm not doing it.
Man, now you let the cat out of the bag, you got
to
tell it.
Yeah, because the people don't want you to tell it.
People may want me to tell it. I cannot tell it. I will not tell it. It involved a youthful indiscretion, and I'm not going to tell the story. I don't give a damn how. You know, we're honest enough on this show, man. Get yourself a BSP and look at this video cast and see how honest it gets. I am not telling that part of the story. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm. Can I tell people a little?
You ain't telling anybody anything.
It has to do with homosexuality.
You shut up. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Oh, what, you're homophobe?
No, I'm not, but no, it doesn't. Boy sent home from school for wearing a Steelers jersey on Seahawk Appreciation Day. Yes, Bud Dickman was sent home.
Uh-huh.
Shut up.
Anyway, a 13-year-old student at Tacoma's Truman Middle School just wanted to show his team spirit when he wore a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey to the school's Seahawk Appreciation Day on Friday. Really? Well, guess what? He violated what they wanted him to do, this little piece of dirt. I'm joking, but still in all, kid. School administrators sent Grendon Bailey home saying his... That's a hell of a name to give a kid, isn't it, Grendon?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It just sounds Grendon. It sounds like something out of Middle Earth.
Yeah, it does sort of like a hobbit or something.
No, what do you mean?
Grendon. It just doesn't sound like a human being's name. Anyway, school administrators sent Grendon Bailey home saying his choice of clothing was inappropriate and that Seahawks shirts or collars were the only exception allowed outside the school uniform's normal strict dress code. Now, the seventh grader says he feels it was unfair for the school to single him out for punishment simply because he and his family, oh, God, please don't tell me there's some parents behind this, are Steeler fans and not Seahawk fans. Not everyone is a Seahawk fan, and if they got to wear their team stuff, then I should too, Grendon said, by way of my thinking. Anyway, the school district says Grendon and all other students were warned on Thursday that anyone who didn't want to wear Seahawk colors should wear their normal school uniform, which is limited to certain styles and colors of clothing. In fact, Grendon admits that he specifically asked the school's vice principal the day before if he could wear a Steelers jersey and was told he could not because it was the Seahawk Spirit Day. All right, so far so good, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the school said thus... The kid said thus, the school said no, 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 no. So the kid is aware of what, you know, he had to do.
Yeah, so far.
All right. This boy came in a different color, a different team, and he was asked if he didn't want to participate in the Seahawk Colors Day, then he could wear his uniform, said Tacoma School District spokeswoman Stacy Flores. Now, Grendon's dad, Stoughton B. Bailey Sr., says his son and the whole family are diehard Pittsburgh fans, and his son felt he should be able to show his team spirit like the other students at the school. I didn't force him to do it. I said I'd stand behind him if he wanted to do it, and this morning I gave him a choice. I said, what do you want to wear? And he said, I'm wearing my Steelers outfit. Grendon's dad also says he sent his son to school with a note explaining the boy's decision so he wouldn't get into trouble. But school officials refused to even read it. He was immediately told that he had to leave and change his clothes or face a school suspension for the day, Stoughton B. Bailey Sr. said. What kind of, where are these people from anyway?
You said they come off from Middle Earth.
I think they are. Stoughton and his son Grendon. Grendon's dad picked him up after school after the officials refused to let him attend classes in his Steelers regalia. Both father and son were in tears. No, they just kidding. The Steelers are facing the Baltimore Ravens, the AFC playoffs this weekend, and Grendon says he has no plans to watch the Seahawk-Bear game. Okay. Now, you heard the story, right?
Yeah.
And you heard that the outcome was, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Why is this news?
Well, because
You guys, there's no reason it's news. The parents didn't make an issue out of it. The kid blew it, and he was totally honest about it. The school made the ruling. The kid violated the rule. The dad seems a little thick, but he didn't make a big issue out of it. Got his kid in trouble. I'll stand behind you, blah, blah, blah. But it was taken care of. So how did this make the news?
They probably got it on the police radio.
Police radio? What do you mean the police radio?
How are they going to get on police radio?
That's how you find out about news.
You find out about news that the cops are going to. The cops didn't go to this.
Yeah, but they know about crime and everything.
This ain't no crime, man. It's a kid going to school in his Seahawk or his Steeler jersey. So how did this make the news?
Maybe somebody called him and everything.
Called the TV station. That's exactly right. That's what I think happened. I don't know whether it was Grendon or whether it was Stoughton B. Bailey Sr. Good God. Who was the other guy? What was the name of that guy in Gilligan's Island?
Lovey.
Lovey. Anyway, I think someone called up the TV station, and the TV station on a slow news day decided to send a camera crew out there and report on some kid getting suspended for wearing the wrong... Do you understand, folks, that in, you know, at any other time in the history of this planet, that wouldn't even be news? That wouldn't even make... That wouldn't even have made the Daily Walnut there in Tacoma. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. At PhilHenryShow.com, a father bitches about an early robocall to his kid's school. Here's another dad that's upset with something. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show, here on NewsHour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. A radio station owner served a restraining order over threatening a shootout against a rival. This was in Greeley, Colorado. A controversial message about Martin Luther King Jr. has a school member? Has a school member in the northern Colorado city of Greeley in hot water, and now a restraining order has been filed against him. Now, what does this mean? A school board member, okay. Board member Brent Reese owns Pirate Radio, and his message against King has led to threats against him. During his radio show, Reese said about King, he's not a legitimate reverend, he's not a bona fide PhD, and his name is not really Martin Luther King. What's left is just a sexual degenerate. The letter was reportedly from a member of the Aryan Nation. Since Reese received the letter, he has read it every year during his radio show. What's this guy's name? He's a school board member in Greeley, Colorado, named Brett Reese, who got a letter from a guy in Aryan Nation, and he reads this garbage on the air. Okay. Reese started the firestorm that has now seen a competing radio station's general manager take out a restraining order against the board member. KFKA's owner, John Sasso, says Reese left him a threatening voicemail in which Reese allegedly threatened a shootout because sponsors are pulling their support from Reese's station and instead sponsoring KFKA. They don't know anything else except they've had some people call them up and they say, we hate this Brett Reese bastard. He's a racist, Reese said. Well, you are, Brett. I am no racist. That doesn't make any sense at all. Even though I think Martin Luther King's a degenerate and that really isn't his name. He's not a PhD and I'm reading a letter from the Aryan Nation. What's that got to do with it? They don't know me, but we're losing sponsors because of it. That really bothers me. Here's a great idea, Brett. Don't read a letter from Aryan Nation, you stupid bastard. Oh, my God. Are you crazy? Well, I should be able to read. Yes, you should be able to read anything you want. Anything you want. Well, then why are they pulling out? Because they think you're a douchebag. Well, why do they think that? Oh, I don't know. Does it have something to do with the fact that you're reading a letter from an Aryan Nation guy calling Martin Luther King a sexual degenerate, a man who is revered right alongside of some of the great Americans in history, a man who, you know, is a great American? Oh, I don't think so. All right. Anyway, Reese apparently believed that Sasso, which reminds me of that character, and what was that, Bud?
Yeah, that's Carlito's Way. That's Sasso, man. That's Sasso. Now they open up the trunk on the Belt Parkway. Ooh, that's some stink you're going to make.
Man, you know that movie backward and forward.
I do. I love that movie.
That's right. That was, all right. Reese apparently believed that Sasso had gone to sponsors and asked them to stop supporting the station who reads racist letters, according to an unidentified staffer at Reese's station. We've been branded as some sort of racist radio station. There are no facts to that whatsoever, Reese said. The restraining order will be argued in a court a week from Friday. You know, these people, these bona fide racists, this is the game they're playing now. Well, just because I read a letter from a guy who is in Aryan Nation doesn't mean that I agree with him. Well, you're reading the letter. Yes, because I do agree with the letter, but that doesn't make me a racist. I see. And you just don't want to have to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. That's right. Why are we taking, you know, we don't need that day. That's the days are for George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, well, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. So that's okay with you? Sure, it's okay with me. I'm not a racist. So they do that dance. All right, let's listen to this, man. It's probably some of the same stuff that we've been talking about. But here is here's a voicemail allegedly left by Brett Reese, who's the guy that reads the Area Nation letter, and it has landed the station owner in hot water. Here's the voicemail.
January 12 at 1:56 p.m.
Hey, Justin, this is Brett Reese, and I guess I just wanted to let you know that I was hoping we could look something out for having all of your sales guys contacting all of my sponsors at this particular time. I hope you don't think that things are falling apart, and I'll give you, by the end of today, to pull all of your salespeople off of my sponsors.
But anyway, here Reese tells KDVR-TV that he's upset that he and his station is being branded as racist.
Pirate Radio may go away because our sponsors are leaving us. They don't know anything else except they've had some people call them up and say, we hate this. It's terrible. Brett Reese is a racist.
Right.
I am no racist. That doesn't make any sense at all. They don't know me, but we're losing sponsors because of it. We've been branded some sort of racist radio station. There's no facts to that whatsoever.
Well, what's this guy reading a letter for? I don't understand that.
Yeah, and the letter is from, he said it's the letter was reportedly from a member of the Aryan Nation. And he got the letter, he's read it every year during his radio show.
Well, how many years has he been reading this thing?
I don't know.
It's reportedly from the Aryan Nation. I mean, it's enough. This guy's a douchebag in my book just by what he describes Reverend King as, because these are accusations that have been made over and over and over again and have been debunked over and over and over again. And they are still brought up because most people don't know anything about Martin Luther King. They know he was, most people know he was a very, you know, he was a great man. He suffered quite a bit of harassment and went through a lot of hell and threats of violence and ultimately was murdered on behalf of a pretty decent principal. But nonetheless, most people, that's as far as it goes. So you can say to them, well, you know, he's a sexual degenerate. You know that Martin Luther King had sexual liaisons. He was not faithful to his wife. This is true. However, in my book, and this is just Phil Henry, you don't have to take it from me, I've always said, you know, sometimes you have to separate the great things a person does from the reality of their lives. And sometimes the two things don't necessarily match up. That, I've always believed that. I can't throw out someone's work because their life was imperfect, but...
Well, I don't understand that. You guys going to be... He's a reverend and everything.
I know he was a reverend. I'm not... I know that. But even the work... But the work that Martin Luther King did, for me, transcended him being a reverend. It was him being an American talking about human rights, you know, and fighting for human rights.
Yeah, but I mean... If he's fighting for human rights and he's getting some on the side, how bad is that, you know?
What are you talking about, you two nuts?
Well, I mean, he's getting a little on the side.
You shut up about getting it on the side. Talking about a great man. That's my opinion anyway. And I will never waver from that, and that's how I think, man. So screw you guys, okay?
I didn't say anything great. I'm just saying he's getting some on the side.
Well, you forget about getting some on the side. What is it with you guys? This guy here, this Reese freak, is reading some letter about this, that, this, that. Don't tell me how much research has this guy, Brett Reese, done into the life of Martin Luther King. Every year this guy's reading this letter, whether it's from Aryan Nations or not, all kinds of garbage in this letter, and he's reading it to slander the guy. Has Brett Reese ever actually looked into the life of Martin Luther King? And if he did, and he actually saw the truth, would he recognize it, even if it jumped up and bit him on the nose? I doubt it. Hollywood's top on-screen couples, Rupert Grint and Emma Watson. Oh, that's great.
What's that about?
I don't know. In the old days, couples like Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, they were all that, man, and, you know, in a cup of tea. They used to appear in many films together. These days, you usually only see pairs joining up again in sequels. To find the top-earning on-screen couples of all time, Forbes added up the global box office for every film the pair appeared in together using data from Box Office Mojo. All right? So should we start with number? These are the top on-screen pairings of all time. These are the people that kick ass when it comes to money. You ain't going to recognize half of these. This is horse dung, man.
I don't know. That was an interesting story.
No, I'm glad you pulled it, okay? I'm not criticizing, but... I don't think people are going to necessarily recognize some of the names. Here is the number. Well, did they say 10? Here's number 9. Ben Stiller and Terry Polo. $1 billion. That's right, Little Fockers might be one of the worst reviewed films of 2010, but it is making a lot of money. So far, the Meet the Parents trilogy has earned $1 billion at the box office, and with those kinds of numbers, a fourth movie can't be far behind. Expect more trouble for the young marriage played by Stiller and Polo. $1 billion, man. Number 8, Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. $1.2 billion. We didn't include this couple when we first did this list last year, like anybody's noticed, because after the first Iron Man, they still weren't really a couple. But in the second movie, Downey's Tony Stark admitted his feelings for Paltrow's Pepper Potts. No word on if Paltrow will make an appearance in the upcoming film The Avengers, which will feature Iron Man, among other heroes. So it's Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. Number 7 is Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen. Hayden Christensen didn't make his Star Wars debut as Anakin Skywalker until his fifth film, Attack of the Clones. Your favorite movie, bud.
That was way better.
Yeah. Hey, can I play something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jews are good with money.
I just want to throw that.
You get out of here and I'll do that stuff. What's that about?
Talking about movies.
What a bitty Semite, man.
No kidding.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen, they didn't make the Star Wars debut as Anakin Skywalker until his fifth movie, Attack of the Clones, but his relationship with Natalie Portman's Padme was crucial to the sci-fi tale as the $1.5 billionaire. All right, man. So that's number 7. Number 6 is Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox. Transformers is really all about robots that turn into cars, but somewhere in the first two movies was a love story between LaBeouf's Sam Witwicky and Fox's Michaela Baines. The two couldn't have been that inseparable, though, because director Michael Bay decided to jettison Fox in the third movie in favor of Victoria's Secret model Rosie Huntington Whiteley. Oh, God.
What?
And number 5, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, they made $1.8 billion, while romance is secondary and somebody, you know what, this is...
Just do the number one.
The number one couple, Rupert Gint and Emma Watson.
What? I don't understand that.
Get out of here with this, will you? Viggo Mortensen and Liv Tyler. When they talk about on-screen couples, they ought to be talking about couples that people recognize, that have been in movies together for a long, long time. People that have been involved in the movies together over and over and over. You know, maybe people are going to be, you know, appearing in a movie again, but not this stuff, dude. All right, we'll be coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show, our wrap-up segment. Did a dad complaining about getting robocalls go too far? And a mom forces her kid to get waxed. Just a whole bunch of dad and moms being completely and totally unacceptable when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
All right, I got a story here, and I played the audio at the beginning of the show, not really knowing what it was, and I thought it was funny sounding. Now that I know what it is,
still funny sounding.
No, it ain't funny sounding. That's just it. I don't like it at all, and so I'm going to have to warn you. But I must, on some level, play it for you. Now, this is one of these, another clip from Toddlers and Tiaras. This is the show, you know, on, what the hell is it on, TLC?
I think it's on TLC, I'm not sure.
How come TLC's getting off the hook here, man? What are they on? They're on TLC. I think every time we do a story about this messed up show, we ought to mention, I don't think TLC's doing a bad thing. I think TLC's doing a good thing with this show. I think it's like, I think it's this ugly train wreck of a reality show about children, beauty, little babies in beauty pageants, right? But what I can't stand about this is you're going to hear at the very beginning this woman, and she's having her daughter's eyebrows waxed, and you'll hear that the child is in discomfort. And it kind of bothers me a lot, and I'll tell you why. I can't think of any pursuit. I can't think of any activity that a child is engaged in that you put that child through pain in order to engage in that pastime. I'm not talking about going to the doctor. And, you know, all these simple-minded bastards, that's what they'll say. Well, they go to the doctor, don't they? They got to go to the doctor. They got to get shots. They have to have that. They got to go to the dentist. Well, what about Little League? Don't you? Yeah, in Little League, you play baseball. There's nothing about the game of baseball that says you must go through pain. There's nothing. If you play baseball, you must feel pain. There's nothing at all about putting a child unwillingly through pain about any one of those pursuits. A kid playing football, baseball, anybody that puts their kid into a sport that the child is afraid of, that the child doesn't want to play, and they repeatedly involve that kid in that sport, even though the kid is uncomfortable playing it, you're probably getting into some area of, like, really weird, you know, sort of strange. I'd be calling it abuse, but it's, you know, what's the point? But having a little child who is in a beauty pageant, something that kids don't have to be in, and then waxing her eyebrows, which is real weird, man. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, you got to do it for a beauty pageant.
Oh, is that what you got to do? You got to have it for a beauty pageant, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm a little kid, man.
Well, what difference does it make? They got to do a bikini wax, too.
A bikini? Well, I had to belt you for that.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Another week, another episode of Toddlers and Tiaras, and another horrifying act of child cruelty. And they don't want to come out and call it what it is, child abuse. Well, there were no cone bras this time. There was an absolutely terrified 5-year-old, Alexis, whose mother, Nicole, forced her to get her eyebrows waxed. While it's understandable that a child wouldn't want hot wax poured onto her face and then ripped off by a salon worker, in this case, the young girl had actually experienced a traumatizing wax prior to this incident, in which the wax was too hot and accidentally tore off her skin.
Man, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, her mother admits this to the cameras while her daughter, who is screaming and shaking, is being cajoled by some salon worker with a bag of candy. Now, this is not a vaccine that they're getting. It's not an inoculation that they're getting. They're not going in for any kind of medical procedure or dental procedure, which is ultimately good and protects the health of the child. No, this is some bizarre, freakish exercise. It's a beauty pageant for kids. Now, who the hell is here? Nicole explains why she's... Oh, this is the mother. She explains why she's having her 5-year-old daughter, her 5-year-old daughter now, waxed.
We get Alexis' eyebrows waxed, number one, because it's a little unibrow and they grow together.
Wait a minute, is she speaking English there?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know, it's like, it sounds like English.
What is that, Canadian or something?
I don't know.
It sounds like she's gagging on something. Pardon me for saying that, but...
We get Alexis' eyebrows waxed, number one, because she has a little unibrow and they grow together, so we got to get rid of that, too. In between, and then maybe a little bit right here.
Is she Daffy Duck or something?
I don't know, man. It sounds like it's a combination of duck and Canadian.
A combination of duck and Canadian?
We get Alexis' eyebrows waxed, number one, because she has a little unibrow and they grow together, so we got to get rid of that, too. In between... And then maybe a little bit right here.
Oh, no, no, don't do my eyeballs.
Okay, she's just going to look out so that I can offer you.
No, don't do my eyeballs.
I got you a special prize. We'll do it after we do your eyebrows, okay?
Oh, really? Oh, that's great. And after we take you out of the gas chamber, a special prize after we do your eyebrows.
Crap.
All right. After Nicole explains her daughter's past bad experience, Alexis has her eyebrows waxed.
You got to be real still, okay? She had a bad experience with not just
the ability
to wear, and the wax was way too hot, and it actually ripped off her skin, so she's been kind of terrified ever since.
Oh, isn't that, it's...
Don't tear it! Don't tear it!
Ah! It's all done! It's all done!
No, you tear it!
Yeah, but it's all done! See? Look how pretty it looks! That wasn't bad, was it? Okay,
lame. Yeah, it wasn't bad at all! Just because I talk like it. She talks like she's... Well, I better not say it.
Got something in her mouth.
Shut up. The waxing isn't done yet, though. No, no, not at all. The torture and the hell for this child is not done. There is Mama. She's talking about it all. And here we go.
Just one more. I would like to say that beauty doesn't play a part in wedding pageants, but they're called beauty pageants for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tear it!
Don't tear it!
You're almost done.
You dirty whores. You dirty whores.
Hey, you're all done. Normally, I would
all done.
They're down and ripped it off.
Oh my God, those bitches.
Man, that bad.
That's not a shot the child's getting. She's not getting her teeth filled. She's not going to, that's a beauty pageant. And that mother, good God almighty, she had a brain. She'd have it out bouncing it up and down, trying to shoot hoops with it.
Boy, that is pretty bad.
Bad? I'm telling you, TLC's doing a service, but I can't understand how they let this stuff slide. I don't know. Maybe I'm making a... I can't stand that, man. I've seen kids crying because they're going to get a shot, but that's for their own good. Getting their eyebrow wet. And did you hear that dumbass? She's got a bad unibrow. Are these people from the planet Earth? I don't know. Sometimes I hear people talking, man. I don't know what the hell.
I think that is an American accent crossed with duck.
Crossed with duck.
I think it is, man.
That's the first accent we have ever heard that is a combination American, Canadian, and duck.
I think she was mothered by a duck or something.
That woman come from duck, I tell you. All right. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wagon. Our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. PhilHendryShow.com is our website. And
boy, what a headache.
I think, man. All right. Onward and upward, baby. Tomorrow night, our live show on KFI AM 640 Los Angeles. Watch for the video cast at PhilHendryShow.com.
Crap.
Phil Hendry.